Okay, so tonight we're actually going to do a double whammy. We're going to do Hey Part 4 and Vuv Part 1. Yeah. It's the only way I could figure this out. I couldn't walk away from one more insight about Hey, but it's time to move on into Vuv as well. We've spoken many, many times about the concept that God's four-letter name, right? What do we call it? Yud-K, Vuv-K. That's our acronym. It's a Yud followed by a Hey, followed by a Vuv, followed by a Hey. We already explained, we understood the concept. Try to picture, visualize that you have, again, God is everywhere. But just for conceptual purposes, our brains seem to understand better when we think of God and spirituality as up and physicality as down. That's the way we function. Fine. So you have God up there somewhere. And then you have, if you can, try to picture the four letters in descending order. God is all the way up there. And then you have the Yud concept, the spiritual concept. Again, I'm going to break. Obviously, there's multi billions of letter, you know, whatever you call it, levels within that. But you have your Yud followed under it as a Hey. Again, a break followed by the Vuv until you get to our world, little old me, standing on the earth that represents the Hey. The lowest Hey. We understood the Yud, that's spirituality. We understood the last Hey because that's our integrated whole of physicality and spirituality, the world in which we live. But what's up with the middle two letters? The Hey and the Vuv in the middle there. Before we go too far, I'll tell you that we've quoted this piece of Talmud a few times already, and we'll continue to do it because this is the famous Talmudic passage discussing the letters, and they're done in pairs. We saw Aleph was connected with Bet, Gimel was associated with Dalet. Yes, so the letters Hey and Vav are paired together, and what it stands for, says the Talmud, the Hey-Vav combination, Shmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's God's name. I mean, you can't get more cryptic than that. What does that mean? That the middle, these letters, Hey, Vav, somehow is God's name. Some commentators discuss that it's a name by itself, and others see it more as a abbreviated form of the Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, the middle letters of the four-letter name. It doesn't make a difference for tonight's conversation. This is just, we're going to go with it. God is up here. You got all of this. Then your first wave, if you want, of God's expressing his will, God's energy, God's flow of godliness is expressed in the spiritual realm. Then you get all the way to the bottom where it's an integrated whole. But what's up with this middle section? So let's work backwards. The letter prior to our Hey, the letter prior to our integrated, and again, I'm just going to repeat what we said last time. The letter Hey, even though we call it that, is a two-lettered letter. It's got the Dalet of physicality and the Yud of spirituality. Okay? But I'm just going to refer to it as the Hey. The letter right before our Hey is the letter Vav. Now, I can begin to understand why that's part of this chain, because, you know, that really represents the spirituality that started all the way up here with the Yud, working and actually flowing down to our world. If you recall, when we talked about the letter Aleph, the very first letter, we talked about the fact that the structure of it had a Yud at the top and a Yud at the bottom. And our job was to try to connect that us being down here, our level of spirituality, trying to connect it with the upper one. And what separated it was that diagonal Vav. Okay? I won't hold you to remembering it all, but the word Vav, besides representing a letter, actually has a meaning as a word. Anybody recall what it is? I'm scanning the gallery.
A hook.
What is it?
A hook.
A hook. That is correct. The word Vav actually means hook. So I can begin to understand that the letter that's going to be the letter right before our world is going to be the hook that's taking everything that came from above and channeling it into our world. Even when we use the letter Vav as a in the as a prefix to a word, the word V or V something has the meaning and. It's a conjunction, again, acting as a hook. The Vav I can begin to understand. So the last step in the process before it gets to our world would obviously mean it's the hook into our world. So, okay, we can accept that. That's fine. But here's where we go a little crazy. Because that other letter, the second letter from the top or the third from the bottom, however you want to look at it, just screams out of place. The letter Hey, again, it's a Yud, a Hey, a Vav, and another Hey. I got the Yud, I got the bottom Hey, I can even get the Vav. But that second letter, the upper Hey, seems to be so out of place. I've already banged it into your head for 4 days that the letter Hey is representation of a Dalet and a Yud, a merging and integrating of physicality and spirit. We're not in the physical world yet. That upper Hey is still in that spiritual realm. Why would it possibly? So I'm not even questioning the Yud part of the Hey, the leg of the Hey. Okay, I can rally around that one because at least that's connected to spirituality. But the Dalet of that Hey, that seems completely lost and out of place. Do you follow this question? You with me? Yes? Okay. So I think the easiest way to present this, and it's a very difficult concept, but I think the way we do it, when I was growing up, my father of blessed memory, very handy man, it wasn't his craft, but intuitively he learned a lot from his father, and he had a certain, Liz, this is your word, a chush, he had a certain feel for handiwork to find. But electricity was one of the things that just, he tried to stay away from it. He just didn't understand it and just, okay. He passed that trade on to me. I am somewhat handy. I got a little bit more bold. I do play around with the electricity a little bit. So I've learned over the years that you can have your source of electricity is able to have an output of, I don't know, make up 100 watts. It's giving a tremendous voltage. It can give 100 watts. Yeah, that's fine. Except when you plug in your little appliance, your tiny little something, your cell phone charger, for example, that if you try to bam it with 100 watts, you're going to fry the cell phone. It can't handle that high wattage. So what do? Well, you can try to lower the wattage of the output. You try resistors. You have all different ways within electronics, within electricity, of how to do it. But that's the message the conception I want you to work with. You have God. God is out of our league. We have nothing to describe God himself. It's nothing. I have no words, as we said the other day. I can't even ascribe names to God. It is completely out of my conceptual realm. I can't associate anything with it. But as it's working its way down, that high voltage, that's God. God is infinite voltage, infinite. Infinite and one voltage all at the same time. I don't even know what those words mean, but that's God. The Yud, that first wave, if you want to call it, that first wave of godliness that's in the spiritual realm, which is somewhat limiting, because again, God is unlimited. Within the spiritual realm, this is still extremely high voltage. If you've ever had a power outage and you look at the telephone poles, right? There's the high wires and the not as high wires, because there's high voltage and there's not as high. It's lower voltage. If you've ever had a brownout, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Certain electricity is able to pass through and certain is not. The Yud is that concept. Well, let me give you the overall. what happens in the yud to the hey to the vav to the hey, that's the describing the process of taking infinite wattage and somehow getting it down to a low enough wattage that we can relate to, and it's somewhat been hidden. The power of the high voltage is not easily accessible because we can't handle that. Taken from a great movie. You can't handle the truth. It can't, right? This is why we can't handle that infinite wattage. We can't even handle the yud, that high voltage. So what happens is that through the course of the name, the yud and the hey and the vav and the hey, which again, I've said before, this is the name that is describing God's interaction with our universe. That's the name that we associate with that interaction. So clearly it's in an up towards down motion, a flow of energy from above coming down. But instead of looking at it as a straight line, think of it as a funnel. It's massive on top. It's unlimited at the top. And as it works its way down, it's getting more restricted and constrained as you go down the process. So think of it this way. Above the yud, that's God. That's out of our league. The yud represents the spirituality, but again, it's still too high of a wattage for us. It's going to overload the circuit. Now you say, well, what's so terrible? What's going to happen if you overload the circuit? Well, if you try it with your cell phone, you fry the motherboard. You're going to fry your cell phone. Well, it's not going to fry us in the sense that we're going to become that kind of stuff, but more in the sense of what is the number one rule, the number one principle for our world to exist. There has to be two letters. Come on. FW. There has to be free will. Free will means you can't overload the circuits one way or another. There needs to be some balance. So all this massive high wattage from the yud is not anything we can handle yet. So you come to the next letter, which we're calling hey, but again, it's a dalid yud. What's really going on there? It's conceptually now going to restrict and try to put some structure to lower the wattage so that ultimately it could be utilized and received in our world. Then you have the vav that it actually now can come hooked into our world. And then you have the final hey, where it's actualized in our world. That is the general approach that they take for understanding God's name of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Let me put it in a practical example. You're a parent, you've been a parent for X number of years, and you've come to the conclusion that you're not bad, but you really need to be a better parent. You know in your heart that you need to be spending more quality time with the children. We need to be more patient with the children. There's a whole boatload of things that we come up with an idea in our head that says, I want to be a better parent. Well, that's too broad of a category. So what you do is, well, how am I going to do that? You know what? I'm going to focus on one particular trait. I'm going to focus on being a happier person. I'm going to be more tolerant because I'll be in a happier mood, and I won't be so quick to be angry. I'm going to focus on this one aspect of what it means to be a better parent. So you went from the concept to conceptualizing and saying, that's too big, let me narrow my focus. Then what you do is you see the child about to come in the front door, and you make the decision that you're going to greet the child at the door with a big smile. And you do it. And when you actualize it, and you open the door, and you say, oh, I'm so glad to see you, and the child looks at you and smiles back, you have now taken a very large concept called being a better parent, and you have actualized it in real time by smiling and seeing the result. That is the four-step progression that it goes through. The his smile back or her smile back is the fulfillment of the original goal of being the better parent. Yud, the Dalit Hey is the giving it a structure, focusing it in the same way it means in our world in actual terms of putting into practice, integrating that physical and spiritual. The top Hey, the first Hey, is the conceptual way it's done. The Vav actually brings it and the Hey makes it real in our world. That's the general approach. So are we good with this? Somewhat. Okay. Therefore, the Hey and the Vav combination, the middle steps there, again, the Yud, super high voltage, the lower Hey is now how I can receive it. So in effect, that middle combination letter of Hey Vav is the essential middle part of the process describing how God actually will interact with our world. God is beyond us. The Yud is too much for us. The Hey Vav combo makes it so that when I bring it into our world of Hey, the final Hey, it's real. So Yudke Vavke is the full name used to describe the complete interaction that God has with our world. But the Hey Vav combination is the critical component that also represents, albeit in an abridged form, God's interacting with the world. Okay? Watch how this plays out. Hebrew grammar is not my forte. I have never really been able to wrap my head around it. Anyone who's been to day school is shaking their head because it's the class that you know you have to take. You know you should appreciate it because it really will make your life easier in understanding it. But we're shaking our head because we just don't get it. I've been there. I'm still there. However, here's what I have found. There are certain root words that you can combine in the same word, the verb, the action being done with the subject it's being done to. Typically, you have a verb, and then the next word is the subject, the object. For example, if I wanted to say, and he went to, right? So you can say, vayelech, and he went Le Hebron, to Hebron, okay? But the verb of and he went, and then you have the next word is either to or for or with, whatever the object or person is. There are certain root words that you can actually combine them. For example, the Hebrew root for the word to teach, lamed mem dalid, lomed, right, is to teach. If I want to tell you to go teach him, I can say lamdehu, teach him. I don't have to break it into two words of lamed oto, go teach him. I can combine it into one, and what I did in effect is I added two letters to the verb. Can you guess what two letters? Yeah, hey vav. Lamed mem dalet is the root lamad, to teach or to learn. And you add the hey vav at the end and you pronounce it as lamdehu. It means teach him. It becomes one word. When Jacob and Esau met, after Jacob had run away for so many years, and they finally met, and miraculously, instead of what should have been a bloodbath, they actually, Esau comes and wants to make peace with Yaakov, or so it seemed on the surface. But the Torah says that he hugged him and he kissed him. The word that the Torah uses is vayichab kehu, and he hugged him. Vayisha kehu, and he kissed him. It combines it. There are many words that root that you can do this way. The him, the subject in that sentence or word, is referred to by the combination hevav at the end of the word. Yes? Okay, now let's go back to the Talmudic pairing that we started with. The Talmud asks, okay, what's the connection about the next two letters, Hey and Vav? Well, Hey Vav, said the Talmud, Shmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's God's name. Somehow, the Talmud is trying to impress upon us that the Hevav combo is really a reference to him with a capital H, not the lowercase. Yes, in a sentence where it's talking about two human beings, Esau and Jacob, yes, the him and he hugged him, the him there is a lowercase and it's referring to Jacob. Or in the case of, I tell you to go teach him, it's that person. But what the Talmud is teaching us, which we've seen many, many times, is that if it's a true reality down here in our world, it's reflecting a truth in a higher realm in the spiritual world as well. And therefore, the Hevav can be understood as a reference to him, capital H. I'll give you an example. We're familiar with the story of the daughter of Pharaoh, who goes out to bathe by the Nile River, and comes across a beautiful basket and sees a child inside, and she reaches out and she takes in, who is it? Baby Moses, right? The Torah tells us she saw the youth. She saw the child. In typical biblical Hebrew, it would be three words. Vatere, and she saw, et hayeled, the child. That's how I would have expected it. That's the normal way of speaking. And she saw, next word, the child. For what seems to be an unexplained reason, the Torah uses a different word. And the Torah says, Vatir'ehu et hayeled. And she notes different in translation. And she saw him, who? The child. It takes the hevav, sticks it on the word I'm expecting to see, Vatireh, and it becomes Vatir'ehu et hayeled. In English translation, it doesn't change it. It's still, and she saw the child. But we know that. But we know that's got to be more. Why stick on an extra hevav? Says the Medrash right there on that verse. What compelled her about taking this child? Don't say because the child was crying. Go back to your source. Go back to those sentences. You will see the child is not crying until after she sees the child. It's not the crying as it's in the movie. She heard the child crying and therefore she went to find him. That is not true. Again, the movie is good, but it ain't the real deal. The book is much better. Okay. So, Vatir'ehu et hayeled. Says the Medrash, what did she see? She felt, she recognized that there was something special. In the Midrashic term, she realized the Shechina was there. God's presence was with the child. Where in tarnation does the Medrash get this idea that there was God's presence with Moses as a young baby, 3 months old in a basket? Perhaps, I'm not saying for sure, but perhaps it's from the fact that the Torah changed the normal usage of that word. Instead of saying vatera and she saw, it says vatera. What did she see? Hevav. What's Hevav? God. The capital H, him. She recognized something special was going on here with the child. In fact, the end of the story, most people don't know this, that she was so moved by the experience. Not only did she save the child, raise him in the palace, and he became the great Moses, but the Medrash actually says that at a later point in life, the daughter of Pharaoh actually converted and joined the Jewish people. You come in contact with a hevav like that, you're moved. I'll give you another example. When the Jews left Egypt and they had the crossing of the sea, the Torah tells us that the song that the Jewish people sang out of just sheer joy and jubilation of being saved, everybody had some level of revelation of godliness that had never been experienced before. In fact, the Torah tells us that when you read the song at the sea, the Torah says that everybody was able to say, Ze Eli Ve'anvehu, this is my God and I will glorify him. Zem means this, that as if you can point, as if it was right there in front of you. Every person had some kind of spiritual revelation that they could connect with that godliness. And they said, this is my God, and I will glorify him. Ve'anvehu. It adds that hevav again at that word. I will glorify him. Just as an aside, it's that phrase in the Torah where we learn the concept that when you do a mitzvah, you do it with the most beautiful way, in the most beautiful way. because Naveh means to glorify God. You don't use, you know, I remember my mother once telling me, I guess she saw me, I was either getting dressed or undressed, and she saw the pair of tzitzit that I was still wearing, and she was mortified. She said, "You're going to walk out, or you're going to wear a shmata like that? Go get yourself another pair of tzitzis. That's not how you do the mitzvah." You know, it was probably after the summer. I wore it playing sports. It probably was dirty. And if you're going to do the mitzvah, you do it in the most glorified manner. Have a beautiful pair of tzitzis. Have a beautiful talis. Have a beautiful etrog. Go ahead. Glorify God. This is the source for it. That we said, "This is my God and I will glorify him." Well, how do you do that? How am I going to glorify God? So one is to go and do the mitzvah that God gives us in the most beautiful manner. But the Talmud says there's another way. And that is, you know how the best praise for somebody, what's the best compliment you can ever give someone is to emulate them, is to be just like them. What's the expression? I'm blanking. Greatest form of flattery is, what is it? Somebody come off mute here.
Imitation.
Thank you. Form of flattery. That's what it is. Thank you. So God says, you know what? If you imitate me, you learn my traits. You incorporate that godliness. That's the greatest glory I could ever have. Look at the word ve'anvehu. The source of this, and I will glorify him, is made up of two words. Ani vehu. I and he. Yeah, that's fabulous imitation. That's what's going on here when we emulate him. So one more example and I'll let you go. It's late. There's a verse in Proverbs and it's a great lesson for life. The proverb, the verse reads, "B'chol derachecha, in all of your ways, da'ehu, you should know God." Why? What does that mean? What the Talmud tells us is that in all of our activities, whether we're at work or at home, whether we're at study or at play, whatever we're doing, we need to keep God in our mind and to do what is the right thing to do, to ensure that God is known and guiding the decisions and behaviors. B'chol derachecha, in all of your paths, whatever path in life you take, da'ehu, make sure you know God is a part of those decisions. Why? The verse finishes, V'hu yiyasher ochotecha. He will straighten out your paths. You'll succeed properly. B'chol derachecha, in all of your ways, dalet ayin means know, knowledge. Who? Hey, vav. Same thing. When you make decisions what to do, what not to do, make sure you know that there's hey, vav, the name that represents God's presence and interaction with our world. That is the general that's our modus operandi. That's our MO. Everything we do as Jews, b'chol derachecha, on all of our paths, whatever career path, whatever life path, whatever, make sure da'ehu, you know the hey-vav combination. Perhaps, and I'll end with this, maybe it's even a hint or two, why would the hey-vav be the name that really puts it all in perspective? So we know hey is the number 5, which we've talked about, is representing what is the classic 5? The 5 books of the Torah, right? The 5 books of Moses. What's vav? Vav is the next letter. It's number 6. Ah, 6. What do we know 6? Come on, go back to your Pesach Seder. Who knows 6? I know 6. 6 are the books of the Mishnah, the Oral Torah. Perhaps the hey-vav combination, which is the name, so to say, of God representing this godliness in our world. Yeah, that's why the hey-vav is representing the totality of our Torah, the written and the oral. That's the whole thing. The whole thing combined. That's your hey-vav. So what have we learned tonight, besides that you all have a headache? Hey-vav is that hey is not just a letter. Hey is not just a letter of integration of physical and spiritual. You also know that it is connected in a very large way to the next letter with Vav, because in that descending order of godly name, Yud and a Hey and a Vav and a Hey, that middle section is really describing that transformative process of taking the high wattage and bringing it down to a level that we can relate to. That's your Hey Vav combination. And if you, once you had your eyes open to this and you read the Parsha and you read stories in the Torah, you will see how often the words sometimes have the Hey Vav combo at the end. Ask yourself why. What's going on here? What's the extra level of perhaps godliness that I'm missing below the surface? Because that's what the hint is. Questions? Fran?
More of a comment. So it just made me think that the word present tense in Hebrew is hoveh, which is like a double, Hey Vav Vav Hey. So is that like saying that God is present in this present tense?
Yes. The answer is, I believe, yes. I've purposely, if you'll note, I've not brought up anything about past, present, and future, and because it really ties into this whole concept. The name Yud Kei Vav Kei is the lettering that was used for Hayah, Hoveh, and Yihyeh. Was, is, and will be. That's the name. That is exactly the point. Because from God's perspective, past, present, future, it's all the same, but it is our timeline. God from past through present into future. We're going to see, I hope, God willing, we'll see certain letters in Hebrew are future tense letters as opposed to past tense. The Hey is typically past tense. We'll see. But yes, you're on to something big there. Jeff.
You talked about Hey and Vav being the name of God, but they also Yud and Hey.
Correct.
That's used a lot.
I only get a half hour a night, Jeff. Yes, the Yud Hey combination is another one, but I can't go that yet. Yes, the Yud Hey is an important one. I don't want to give it away. We, God willing, we'll talk about it. It's different. Okay. What I want you just to remember, the Vav Hey combo is the guts of it. It's the guts of that transformation of taking the infinite, bringing it to the finite. Yud Hey is a different concept, but yes, there's more to this. Not bad for a side job, right? Okay, are we good? All right, God willing. Yeah, I know, it's mind-blowing. I know. I figured, you know what? I told you I thought we were going to be on Hey all week, and we were. So, God willing, Monday at 8, we're going to pick it up with Vav, and we'll bring more into this as well.